I get the privilege this morning of sharing the word with you. Our church has been on a journey through the Gospel of Mark. We've kind of done it in different paces. There's been times where we've kind of taken it verse by verse. There's been times where we've kind of skipped ahead a chapter at a time. This morning we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 7. And as we do so, we're going to be evaluating about four or five verses. And as I was praying about what to preach, what to teach this morning, there was a section of this particular text that just exploded in my heart. I felt like there was something there that God wanted to reveal to us and to our church. And so I'm going to do my best today to preach it and teach it. And so I want you to join me, Mark chapter 7, verse number 31. And right before I go into reading the text, I want to share this with you. Many of you may be aware of this. Others of you may not be. The Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. So when we hold any particular translation in our hands that we can discern in the English language, if it's Old Testament, it came from Hebrew. If it's New Testament, it came from Greek. Y'all with me? Yeah. All right. Here's why that's important. Because this morning, we're going to see something come alive in the text that is actually from the Aramaic language. In the day in which that Jesus taught, preached, lived in Israel, the people around him would have been speaking any number of languages, but perhaps at least three. It's possible that in Jesus' day they would have been speaking Greek, but in the area in which he lived, they definitely would have been speaking both Hebrew and Aramaic. And some believe that Jesus may have spoken all three languages, or that Jesus probably, most likely, spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. The book of Acts, Paul says that he heard Jesus say something to him. When Jesus showed up on Damascus Road, he said, "I heard it in the Hebrew tongue." But what we're about to read today, you're going to see that it says that Jesus said it in the Aramaic tongue. And they left it in the Aramaic tongue. And I think there's just something God wants to show us. Can we take a look at it? Yeah, you're like, "Oh, Lord, I'm at that church." I'm like, they're going to talk about Greek and Hebrew. And no. I very rarely ever do this kind of thing. I'm definitely not a Greek scholar. I don't pretend to be. But there's something we just need to see. We're going to learn together. Mark chapter 7, verse number 31. It says, "And Jesus came through the midst of the region to the Sea of Galilee." It's interesting to note that so many of Jesus' miracles happened around the Sea of Galilee. It was a hotbed for the miraculous in his life and ministry. And then they brought to Jesus one who was deaf and one who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged Jesus to put his hand on him. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude, put his finger in his ears, and spat and touched his tongue. And then, looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said, "Ephphatha." That is, be open. So this is an Aramaic word, and anything that would have been in the Aramaic language would have had to ultimately be translated to Greek before we got it to where we're at. Y'all still with me? About three of you. We're going to be all right, though. All right? Ephphatha. Ephphatha. And what this word means, this is what Jesus said. This is how he said it, and it means to be opened. And immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Today we're going to talk about it. Ephphatha, which means be opened. Look at somebody and tell them, be open. Be open. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. I pray, God, that there would be an anointing that only heaven can bring, a special grace to communicate, God, in a way that causes each of us to experience you, perhaps in a way that is beyond anything that we've ever known in our personal life with you up to this moment. God, by and through your Holy Spirit, provoke us to take our next step in you, whatever that might be, in Jesus' name. This church said, amen. Amen. So as I've already shared with you, when I was preparing for the message, it was verse number 34 that just leaped off the page to me. And the more that I read it, the more that I meditated on it, the more that I felt like there is something in this text that God wants his people to know and to receive from. So Jesus, looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said to the man, Ephphatha, that is to be opened. Be opened. Just one more time so we can get everybody on the same page as we're getting started this morning. Look at somebody and tell them, be open. Be open. So is Jesus telling the man's ears to open? Is he telling the man's mouth to open? Or is he speaking to the man to be open? Is Jesus opening his ears? Is he opening his mouth? Or is Jesus trying to open the man? Ephphatha. Aramaic word had to be translated into Greek before you could get it in English. In most instances, there is some type of an Aramaic word that is spoken in the New Testament, brought in to the Greek. And this word that's in the Greek shows up a total of, well, I guess if y'all want to know how to say them, you can try that on your own time, all right? But that Greek word, it shows up in the New Testament 8 times. And 5 times. So the same word that means be opened in the Aramaic, that Greek version of it, it shows up in the New Testament 8 times. 5 times that word is used after the resurrection, and 2 times it is used in the book of Acts. Why is that important? Because 5 out of the 8 times that this Greek word shows up, it in some way references a spiritual openness. And so when we're reading it about this man that is deaf and has a speech impediment, our mind automatically goes to the physical need, that there's something physical that needs to be opened, that his ears need to physically be opened, that his mouth needs to physically be opened. But 5 out of the times that this Greek word shows up in the New Testament, it has very little to do with the physical and almost everything to do with the spiritual. And 5 of these times that it's used, it's after Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave through the resurrection. One of the places where that you see this word is when Jesus is on the road to Emmaus and he's walking with some men and they don't recognize him. They don't know that he is the resurrected Lord until the Bible says that he opened the scriptures to them and their hearts burned within them. It's that word. Right after that, Jesus shows up and he's talking to his disciples. And Scripture tells us that they were struggling to understand the cross and the resurrection until the Bible says Jesus opened their minds. It's this word right here. You go into the book of Acts and it talks about in Acts chapter 16 that there's a lady that is resistant to receiving the gospel until her heart was opened. It's this word right here. The Bible talks about Paul and his ability to teach and preach and minister and convert people to the gospel. And it says that he had this ability to open the scriptures and to open people's hearts to the good news of Jesus. It's this word right here. You might ought to tell somebody, be open. So 5 out of the 8 times that this word shows up in Scripture, it's about something spiritual more than it's about something physical. I'm reminded this quote that I read in a commentary on the subject. It says, there is an inner closing which covers the deepest core of the person, what the Bible calls the heart. That is what Jesus came to open, to liberate, to enable us to fully live our relationship with God and others. With this in mind, think again about verse number 34. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, be open. So is Jesus talking to the ears? Is he talking to the mouth? Or is he talking to the man? Or is there something that we've still missed? Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to the man, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. So they say that if an older person begins to lose their hearing, most likely it will not create a speech impediment because that part of their brain is already developed. But if a child has an issue with hearing, many times as they're in the developmental stages, they can have a speech impediment because of the way that that lack of hearing affects the development in the brain in regards to their speech. So when the Bible points out that this man had a trouble with hearing and there is an issue with a speech impediment, it probably means that from the time he was a child, he has had an issue with hearing and it has affected his ability to speak clearly. So you're talking about a man that's had this issue for a long time. And there's people around him that they care about him, they love him, and as Jesus is passing by, they bring this man to Jesus. And Jesus is asked to minister to him, to touch him. And Scripture says Jesus takes the man, and he pulls him away from the multitude, and he takes his fingers, and he puts them in his ears, and then he uses some type of a spittle, if you will, and puts it on the guy's tongue. And Jesus there is mimicking creation. That the same hands that formed man in the image of God is going to work right about here. And he's got his hands on creation and he is working. And it's while he's here that he says, Ephphatha. But he says Ephphatha while he's looking up at heaven. He's got his hands on the man, but he's got his eyes on heaven. Ephphatha. It's as if Jesus is simultaneously addressing heaven and the heart of a man. It's as if Jesus is going beyond just the need to physically touch this man and making a statement that there's something spiritual that needs to happen here. That if you're going to pray, you ought to pray that the kingdom of heaven would be made manifest in earthen vessel. And so Jesus has got his eyes on heaven, but he's got his hands on the heart of a man. And you sense that what Jesus is saying here is that he desires to see a divine intersection take place through his ministry. That heaven would come to the heart of humanity, and that the heart of humanity would experience the openness of heaven. We've been talking about this word, Ephphatha, and we've talked about how that this is the Greek version of this word, and that if this word were to have ever been spoken by any other speaker in the New Testament in the Aramaic term, this is the Greek word that would have received the translation. And this Greek word, as we've already referenced, and this Aramaic word, it means to be opened, but it also means to connect. It goes beyond just having an openness, and it references that there is some kind of a connection that needs to take place. I don't know who I'm trying to help this morning, but I feel like there's somebody that needs to understand that Jesus wants to get involved in your life, and he wants there to be an openness in your heart because there's something heaven's got held up waiting just to distribute into your life if you would just be open to it. But when you think about this verse, it's more than just an openness, it is a connection. A connection between heaven and the heart of man. A connection between the heart of man and heaven. I believe that what's happening in this man's life is a picture of what salvation is meant to be. So let's think about it for a second. Now, some of you may not know the scripture as much as others, and that's totally okay, because I'm about to start a verse. And you're going to watch some people fill in the blanks. And if you can't do that yet, someday you're going to be able to. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If man shall believe with his heart and confess with his, the same shall be saved. So it's important that we hear with our ears, because as our ears are open to the Word of God, it gives God an avenue to our heart. And then when He gets in our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I open my ears to the gospel, it gives God a way to get heaven into my heart. And once heaven gets into my heart, now I can start confessing old things have passed away. Everything has become new again. I am saved and I know it. I was dead, but now I am alive. So what God really wants to have happen is that you would hear with your ears so that you could confess with your mouth what has happened in your heart. Anybody in here ever had an experience in your heart? And so over and over again in the book of Revelation, you read, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. What Scripture is trying to say is that God wants to do something in your life, but you have to be willing to hear it. It's why when you're in services like this, the enemy does everything he can to distract you from hearing the Scripture, from hearing the good news. Because if you hear it, it might just get in your heart. And if it gets in your heart, then you start confessing with your mouth. Even mountains have to move because there's been something that has happened in your heart. So Jesus touches the man's ears while he says, Ephatha, be opened. The conduit takes place. And then the man starts talking right. A lot of us can't talk right because we never heard right. Oh. Your wife's been trying to straighten you out for 20 years and you still can't hear that lady. You know, be opened. I feel like that the title that I hold at our house is the chief executive officer of opening things. I'm just the lid loosener. Hey, Dad, can you come open this? Eric, come open this for me. Like, even an Amazon box. I'm the only guy that lives at our house that apparently knows where a knife is at. Hey, Dad, can you open this for me? And so I'm accustomed to being called when things need to be opened and others have failed to do so. Some of you really strong men, I'm sure you can relate. But you realize that's who God is to you. You couldn't open heaven. But he could. In fact, there is nothing that is closed that God cannot open. Nothing. Sometimes I'm reading Scripture and I just feel like God likes to flex a little bit. Because there's this Scripture in Psalm chapter 105, verse 41, and it says this, he opened the rock and water gushed out. Water doesn't come from a rock, especially not in the desert. But God had some people who were in the desert. You may have heard of them. They were the Hebrew people, and they were wandering in the wilderness, and they got thirsty to the point they were going to die if they didn't get something to drink. And Jesus said, God said, let me just show you. I can open a rock, and I can bring water out of it in the midst of a desert. Do you know what the Apostle Paul showed up in the New Testament and said? He said, Jesus is that rock. And that everything that was done in the Old Testament was just a type and a shadow of who Jesus desires to be in your life in the New Testament. To the point that Scripture goes as far as to say in Psalm 145 that God's open hand is what dissatisfies the desires of every living thing. Scripture isn't done talking about God's ability to open things. In fact, in Isaiah 22:22, he says, I will place on the shoulder of my son, the Messiah. It's talking about Jesus. It's a messianic prophecy that what he opens, no one will be able to shut. And if he wants to shut something, you won't even be able to open it. He's in charge of. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. And so Jesus has the ability to open things that no one else could open. And once he props it open, the enemy cannot shut it back until. And so there's a lot of emphasis sometimes on God close things. And God can do that. This says that. But I think that more than God desires to be one who is seen as closing things, he desires to be seen as one who is opening things. I used to pray a lot God, if it's your will, open the door, and if it's not your will, close the door. And I still pray that. But here lately, there's been a new verbiage that's come into my prayer life. And I'm praying, God, if it's your will, make it so big and so open that I absolutely cannot miss the fact that it is what you have next for my life. Light my path. Let it be a lamp. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet, God, that I get to the big right door. And here's the thing. Jesus is God of the open door. In fact, Scripture goes as far as to say that Jesus himself said, I am the door. That the book of Hebrews says that we have access to the presence of God because Jesus, through his broken body, became the open door. That Jesus opened it all to us, specifically heaven. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3, when you think about Jesus being the open door, he's talking to a church, and he says to him, he says, I know your deeds. And he says, I opened a door. Isn't that something? He knows your deeds and he still left it. He still left the door open. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Do you know where that open door is at? Heaven. Heaven's where that open door is at. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation starts out by telling us that there's this man named John, and he's been exiled from modern living in his time. He's been put on an island, and basically he probably has no relationships left. And yet on the Lord's Day, he gets in a cave, and he gets in the Spirit. And the Bible says that God opened a door for him into heaven so that he could see things unlike any man had ever seen before. And it's there that you get the unfolding of the book of Revelation that to this day, 2,000 years later, is still being fulfilled in our lives, and it is how everything as we know it is going to come to a close. But what you got to realize is that there was a guy that had been forsaken by his relationships. There is a guy that's been kicked out of society. There's a guy that culture has said, we want no part of you. And Jesus said, if nobody else wants you, I'll just open a door so that heaven can come down into your life. And there's no place in the book of Revelation where that it says that that door has been closed. And so what we get this picture of is that Jesus desires to touch your ears so that you can hear his word, so that that word can get deep down in your heart. And once it has a transforming effect on your heart, then you begin to confess with your mouth that you are saved and you know it, that you are healed and you know it, that you are delivered and you know it. And the reason is because Jesus became the conduit that he could say, heaven, be opened. He opened a door for you and me to experience the kingdom of heaven being made manifest in our life. And there's nothing the enemy can do about it. Your arch nemesis can't do anything about it. The people that have tried to defame you and the people that have tried to destroy your character and the people that have tried to say all manner of evil against you falsely, they cannot shut the door because they didn't open the door. Jesus opened the door. Look at somebody and tell them, be open. Because here's where it gets interesting. Have we settled the fact that God can open what no man can open? Then what do you do with this verse? It's just a few verses later, and Jesus is still talking to a church. And he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody can hear my voice and would open the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with that person and they will eat with me. Wait a second. I thought the door was open. How'd the door get closed if the door was open? Well, you see, now we're talking about two different doors. See, the door to the heart was closed. But the door to heaven was open. And now you're back to the man. Because Jesus has got his hands on the man, but he's looking up at heaven. And Jesus knows that heaven has something for the man. Jesus knows that there's something that heaven can do for the man. And so Jesus is looking at heaven, but he's talking to the man. Be open! Be open! And I just wonder how many times that Jesus has something that he so desperately wants to get to us. And for whatever reason, we choose to shut the door in his face, or at the very least, to leave it closed. I look at it like this, that Jesus opened the door in heaven and is saying, anybody that wants to come on over can. All you got to do is pass through my broken body and receive from the blood that was shed for your sins. But we're so distracted with all the stuff that we got going on that we can't hear the invitation right. And even when we try to talk about it, we spiritually stutter all over the place because we're confused and we just don't seem to have ears to hear that there is a marriage supper of the Lamb that is being prepared that will give us the chance to have an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ and escape anything that would be left for those that miss it. The invitation, come on over. And in Revelation 3, what you see is Jesus leaves his house to come over to your house and see what's going on. And to knock on the door of your heart and say, I thought you were coming over. I thought the party was on the heaven side of things. So why are you locked in here with the curtains pulled, living in depression, living in discouragement, living down and out, poor pitiful me, settling for the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups? Why are you staying on the other side of that door? I'm knocking. But here's the thing. Even though Jesus can open any door that he chooses to, because he's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, when it comes to your heart, he has chosen to be a gentleman. And Jesus has chosen that even though he has taken the door to heaven off the hinges and he put his foot even through the door to hell, he says, when it comes to man, gives you an option. You going to let him in or not? Because if the earth will open wide, salvation will spring up and righteousness will flourish. Because the Lord created it all to start with. As they begin to just play some music softly, I just want to create an environment for us to have a moment to evaluate where are we at when it comes to Ephatha? Has something stopped up your ears? Do you find yourself in a place where that you cannot clearly articulate, I am saved and I know it? Do you find yourself in a place where that you struggle to declare, I'm delivered, I'm healed? Has the enemy somehow been bringing confusion and noise to your life to try to keep you from being able to hear what it is that God's been saying all along? Is there something in your life that even relates to this analogy that heaven is open, Jesus is the conduit, and he's got heaven ready to pour it out in your life, and he's having to stand at the door of your heart and knock. Do you think maybe it's time to be open? Like maybe this is your day, this is your moment to finally say, I will open myself to whatever that heaven has for me. I'm done being resistant. I am done arguing. I am done making excuses. You know, when I was a kid, my grandma kept a picture in her house. It's a famous picture throughout the years. It's a picture of Jesus standing at a door knocking. Maybe you've seen it. It's one of those just timeless landscapes. And I remember as a kid looking at that picture, and there was something that always stuck out to me. That when you look closely, there is no doorknob on the outside. I don't know how deep the painter was trying to be, but he made quite a statement. Because it would seem that you and me must make a decision. Am I going to let him in or not? He's opened everything for me. Now will I open everything for him? And if I may be so bold, I think maybe it's time to venture into the realm of saying, you're either all in. Let me say it this way. He's either all in or he's not in at all. What parts in the chamber of your heart have you locked him off from? Walled him off from? It's time to let him have every hidden corner, every shadowy dark place, every closet. Open it up. Ephatha, be opened. He's looking at heaven, but he's speaking to the man. Because he's got the heaven side of it taken care of. The man's got to make a decision for himself. But will he hear? Will he hear? Will he hear? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. The Bible teaches us that it is not a small thing for the Spirit of God to deal with man. The Bible teaches us that if we sense God tugging on the strings of our heart, that that's a big deal. And right now, if you're in this place and you sense that God is knocking on the door of your heart, and that maybe he's been knocking for a very long time, but for whatever reason, you were deaf to it. And today you hear the good news that Jesus will save me. Then maybe it's your moment to lift a hand in the air. And in that, let it be an act of surrender that says, you know what, God? I'm letting you in. God, in my own might, in my own strength, I could have never kept you out anyway. But you chose to stand at a door and knock and give me a choice as to whether or not I would respond. And so, God, today, we're lifting our hands and bowing our hearts and minds before you, and we're just saying, Lord, we open up. Let heaven rain down with grace and love and forgiveness, and thereby let salvation spring up. Lord, I thank you that you'll take us just like we are. That there's not another thing we got to get fixed. God, right now, right here, you're even willing to reach further down than any of us can reach up. That the psalmist declared it was like you reaching into miry clay and pulling us out. And so, God, even now with a lifted hand, it's a sign of saying, rescue me, Jesus. Rescue me. Rescue me. I'm open, Lord. I'm not going to wall you off any longer. I am open.